technically saying?
First Christmas
Eve. Born to reign, born to bring us life. May I encourage you before we open God's Word and begin thinking about it together, I want to encourage you to plan, unless providentially hindered, be here for a time of worship tonight. Last year was one of the best services of the entire year. We had a lot of folks from our community who would come. We would pray that they would return. And our church family needs to be here. You won't want to miss that time. I'm grateful for all of those who've been working with our children. They're excited about singing tonight as well. Matthew and the worship leaders have been preparing. And so, Lord willing, come and celebrate together. In the Old Testament, there was a practice demonstrated by God's people on a regular basis. And we don't do it on a regular basis, but every once in a while we do. Not to become just ritualistic. Even that celebration of the Lord's Supper is not a ritual of something without thought. We ought to pause and meditate and think and celebrate in our Lord that which He has given to us in His Son. And so we were prompted to think deeply and prepare our hearts. The practice I'm referring to that was done in the Old Testament was that the people of God would stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And so as we begin thinking together on some passages, how about just standing with me? And I want to read from a select few verses of Scripture that you find in your notes. Though there are many more about the very subject we could read, may these captivate our minds and our hearts as we think together the thoughts of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. The words of Jesus, Luke 18:1, or about Him setting up the parable. Now He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. To quote a passage we've yet to look at in the book of James, let us not be hearers of the word only, but what? Doers of the word. Please be seated. Father, as we now begin to think together upon these precious words of exhortation, instruction, challenge, would you meet with us in this time? May you, Holy Spirit, author of the Word, captivate our minds and our hearts and our wills. May we be responsive to apply your Word, not just merely obtain or be reminded of head knowledge we should have. Thank you for this great privilege called prayer. May each believer be strengthened in their walk with you. May our friend who might be with us who does not know you see past all of the religious exercise and find their heart melting in your presence. Draw them to yourself. Thank you for this, your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praying is as natural to the Christian as is breathing for the body. Breathing is something that we do without even thinking about it. In fact, you breathe all day long and never think about it unless somebody like me right now starts talking about breathing. And then you think about your next breath. Or perhaps some of us, if this happens in your adulthood, they'll call for an ambulance. But it happened several times in my childhood. You ever get the wind knocked out of you? You can't help but think, where is and when will that next breath come? There's pain there associated when you lose your breath. Just breathe. Now, that's not only a title of a couple of different songs, both secular and Christian, but I think it's an excellent illustration of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where the Holy Spirit, through Paul, appeals to believers to pray without ceasing. Prayer is essential for your spiritual health. Just as having a healthy intake of God's Word into your life and healthy relationships with other members of the family of God, prayer is absolutely critical for your spiritual well-being. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on this verse, said that pray without ceasing does not mean that we must always be mumbling prayers. The words mean constantly recurring, not continuously occurring. We are to keep the receiver off the hook, to think of that analogy of a phone call, and be in touch with God so that our praying is part of a long conversation that is not broken. And you can almost picture that. You've been on a long conversation. Just hang on a minute. I got to go get something. You lay it down and come back. You don't call them back. They're still there on the line. It is that constant in touch awareness with God. So if prayer is an ongoing, uninterrupted conversation with God, what do we talk about with Him? Well, the short answer is everything. The Scriptures give us clear instruction concerning the content of our praying. And for a very practical approach, let's think about three general categories of prayer. The first category we will call worship praying. You see, as the word worship clearly indicates, this type of praying is God-centered. This is purely vertical. It is focusing on God Himself. This type of praying will prove to be the freshest air that you can breathe. Worship praying is focused on adoration of God. The adoration of God is worshiping God for who He is. Well, just who is He? Here is where an examination of the names of God will increase an understanding of who He is. A study of the names and the attributes of God will immediately correct any of our misunderstanding of God. Do you have a proper understanding of who God is? Is He the Most High God of your life? Is He the All-Sufficient One? Is He Master, the Lord of Peace? Or the Lord who will provide? Is He your Father? All of those understandings, attributes, descriptions of God are found even in His name. In fact, I really don't know just how many. I've not counted them myself. I've seen differing numbers from different lists that people have compiled of identifying the names of God in the Bible. The Old Testament, there are many. It's been said in the New Testament, just the names and titles of Jesus would take a half hour just to read them. But think with me, in the Scripture, in the Old Testament, He's revealed as El Shaddai, Hebrew for what? The Lord God Almighty. El Elyon, the Most High God. Adonai, Lord, Master. Yahweh, Lord, or Jehovah. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my banner. Don't get by that one too quickly. A banner, a flag, is waved. It expresses identity. The Lord defines my identity. The Lord my banner. Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. El Elyon, the everlasting God. Elohim, God, Judge, Creator. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of power. These are but a few of the names of God that are revealed to us in the Old Testament. Listen, God knows us by our name. Should we know Him by His? Psalm 9 verse 10 says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Worshiping or worship praying focuses on adoration of God. But worship praying is also focused on appreciation to God. This is worshiping God for what He does. Again, the very names of God will also give us insight into what God does. Our worship of God will not only focus on the person of God, but also on the provision of God. One of His names is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Would it not be appropriate to be specific in our acknowledgement of His provision? Instead of just saying, "Thank you, God, for what you do," wouldn't it not be better for us to be specific in our gratitude? For what specifically are you grateful for? The question can be answered in any moment in your life. A couple of Sundays ago, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we paused and actually gave you opportunity. And many of you expressed what I'm grateful for right now. And in many cases, it was a elongated gratitude. "Lord, I thank you that many years ago you saved me and I've walked with me in this time." And you remember chapters in your life. I don't know what valley you might be going through right now, but you know as a child of God, there is something in your heart for which you can express gratitude to the Lord for, even in that moment. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," notice next, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." As we noted earlier in this series, gratitude is the default attitude of the Christian's heart. Christians are given God's grace, which enables us to be able to be grateful in any and in all circumstances. If nothing else, you can be grateful in the worst circumstance of your life, that you are not alone. God is right there with you, whether you feel it or not. The writer of Psalms said, "Even if I go to the depths of Sheol, yet, Lord, Thou art there." You can't run from Him. So even though all other circumstances might be difficult, thank God He's with you. Worship praying is the loftiest and the most needed type of praying in our lives. Only when we truly encounter God in His worthiness, in His holiness, will we be able to pray through the other types of prayer. Next, consider, if you will, what we'll call warfare praying. If worship praying is the freshest air that you can ever breathe, the warfare praying will prove to be the deep cleansing breath that we will often need. Followers of Christ are in spiritual battle. Why would the world, the flesh, and the devil come against those who belong to Christ? Well, it's because we seek to live for Christ, which puts us or makes us targets of enemy attacks. Satan will do all he can to leave us or to get us discouraged, doubting, and defeated. Well, how can we contend with that? In short, God's Word gives us the answers. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Brothers and sisters, that is a meaty verse. There is help in those words. There's guidance. When the battle is full on, there's a statement of victory that I can be an overcomer in those verses. How so? Take every thought captive. Pick up the receiver. Lord, here's what I'm thinking. Take charge of that. Submit it into obedience unto Him. When I was a young Christian, I was introduced to a ministry called Navigators. They still provide some very good discipleship materials. Their website is navigators.org. And they have a very helpful section on how to pray during times of spiritual warfare. When we pray, our focus is on Jesus, which in turn strengthens our faith and enables our victory. I want you to have their list of suggested ways to talk to the Lord when you are experiencing spiritual warfare. I think there are about 15 different examples here, but you can go through those on your own. I wanted to share a few of them with you now, but please make this observation. For example, if you just look at the second one on the list as an offered example of prayer. "Even though I know that the devil, like a roaring lion, wants to devour me, help me to steadfastly trust in You, win today's spiritual battles, and bring glory and honor to Your name." Well, that's a pretty good prayer. But what's it based on? Just because somebody like... By the way, I do suggest that you glean from the prayer life of others. We will boast as Baptists sometimes of saying that we're not liturgical. We are, to a degree. We still do things at certain times, and you feel uncomfortable when we do it out of order. Those types of things. And I can remember in my younger, dumber days of saying that, you know what, we don't need a prayer book. Just talk to the Lord. And to a degree, that's true. You're not dependent upon having to use the example of other people's prayer. But it's pretty shallow and immature thinking to say that I can't learn from others. And I submit to you that the prayer of the Puritans will just light a fire under your prayer life. They walk with Jesus like we can't even imagine. So in a sense, like, this is the approach to this prayer list. It's just not somebody suggested prayer, but it's based on Scripture. What I want you to know, even in that prayer that I just cited, 1 Peter 5:8, Ephesians 6:12, Luke 10 verse 18, are Scriptures that speak to the principles that were just prayed about, which is the point that I really want us to get. We need to learn to run to God's Word in time of need or even pleasure, just to enjoy a quiet time with Him, or, "Lord, help me, give me some instruction," and pray through what God says. And here are some short, simple examples in what I would call warfare praying that can equip us in our moments of need. Look at the third example. "Gracious Lord, forgive me for the ways I have given the enemy an opportunity. By Your name, help me to take back any lost territory he's encroached upon." I've had to pray like that just to get ready to receive the Lord's Supper this morning. I've given the enemy territory that I need to claim back. "Lord, forgive me, my attitude, my words." Look at the fifth example. "Help me to submit anew today to Your authority, control, and will. Lead me to say no to the devil and his temptations, and yes, to you an abundant life. By your power, help me resist him and see him run away. By the way, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Lord, help me to see that truth. The sixth example, Lord Jesus, keep me in your presence and always from evil. The eighth example, thank you for such spiritual weapons of faith, truth, righteousness that demolish strongholds. Help me to keep my mind fixed on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Jump down to the 12th example. When Satan goes after the core of who I am, telling me I'm a worthless sinner, a lost cause, an embarrassment to you, remind me of whose I am and who you say I am, a saint, a new creation, your beloved child. The 14th example, I pray as well for each member of my family and my pastors, church staff, and fellow believers. May they suit up in your armor and experience victory in your power. Again, keep in mind that as you begin your day expressing worship prayer to the Lord, we are then better equipped to breathe warfare prayers throughout the day. We're reminded of who He is and who I am in Him. I am not alone when the world and the flesh and the devil start raising their ugly head. Ask God to equip you for the battle, to do battle against your sin, to mortify it. And then get into the Bible and talk to the Lord again about everything that He says in His Word about doing such battle, and you will be victorious. Remember Romans 8:37, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us. The third type of praying we will call work praying. Now, work is what we do in order to meet needs. Yes, you need food and shelter, and God's design for meeting those needs in your life is something called work. Go to work. You earn a paycheck. It meets needs. Well, there's a basic element in prayer that is most often focused on in the meeting of needs, and it's called petition and supplication. Now, Scripture gives us instruction to seek God for the meeting of our needs and desires, for that matter. Lord, you know my desires. Would you meet them? He's interested in those things. We petition God for our needs as well as for the needs of others. First, think with me about petitioning for ourselves. To make a petition to God is simply to make a request. And then you heard that word supplication. A supplication is synonymous to petition, but it does carry the idea of seeking God's grace or favor regarding a matter. So in short, petitioning or supplementing or supplicating God simply means we bring our needs to the Lord and trust Him with them. God, I need your grace in this matter. Either meet the need or meet me in the need. Strengthen me or squelch that. God meets us in those times. We know how to express our needs to the Lord in prayer. I would say that that's somewhat the default mode most of the time for us. Lord, help. Nothing wrong with it. It just has to come in its proper place. Experiencing needs that are challenging to us may be the most common motivation that leads us to pray in the first place. But if we pray as God instructs us to, we will not only express our burden to the Lord, but we will learn to trust the Lord in that burden. Two of my favorite passages that calls us to seek the Lord in our needs or Philippians 4:6, we just looked at that a moment ago, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. May I give a quick clarification? Paul in that verse is not saying God doesn't know until you tell Him. He already knows. But when you and I are making our requests may be made known to God, let Him hear from your lips, your heart. Express your heart vertically. He's waiting for you to come. He already knows. He knew where Adam and Eve were when they was going through the garden saying, hey, buddy, where are you? He already knew. He wanted them to come forward and express it. And that's the same that God does with our needs. Come to Him with thanksgiving. Come to Him not being anxious or, Lord, help me not to be anxious. Help me to seek You. And here's my requests as I make it be known. The other verse is 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxiety, all your care, all your concerns, everything that twists you up, casting all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. So, petitioning for ourselves. But also work praying involves interceding for others. Remember, intercessory prayer is what our focus was last week, and we talked about a definition that intercessory prayer is praying on behalf of others with the determination of seeing their needs met. You're taking their need to the greatest resource of the meeting of that need, to God Himself. Our focus in last week's message also was upon Colossians 1, verses 9 through 11, where Paul prayed for the Colossians. And I submit to you that it's a pretty good example of how to pray for someone else. I'd love for you to pray for your pastors according to this passage. We will pray for you according to this passage. This is how to pray for your children, for one another, your spouse. Look at it again. Well, from what Paul said. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Okay, he didn't put a period there. He got specific about what his intercessory prayer for these believers at Colossae was like. We're asking God that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Oh God, may my children walk in a manner that is worthy of You. May they know Your will for their life. Fully pleasing to Him. Bearing fruit. May they be productive. Make them successful in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Remember what we talked about that last week? It's not just knowledge about God, but increasing in the knowledge of God, that they might know You better. That they may not be satisfied with their spiritual level of development, be it infancy, preteen, adolescence, adulthood. Don't coast. Be ever growing in your knowledge of God. Strengthen with all power. For all endurance and patience with joy. Just pretty good examples of how to pray for others. I want to wrap up by thinking with you on a tool, a memory device that many of you already know, just may need to be reminded, and others may be introduced to. You may be familiar with the acronym Acts of Prayer, A-C-T-S. Acts, of course, is a word for action. And someone suggested that serves as a great insight into the priority and the categories of prayer. Adoration. That's worship praying, isn't it? C, confession. That's wartime praying, isn't it? Doing battle. Seeking Him for our forgiveness. Doing battle. T, thanksgiving, worship praying, gratitude. S, supplication for ourselves and for others. So if you don't remember the outline from the message, hang on to the acts of prayer. May the Lord instill within you a heart to just breathe. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that very title that you've given to us about yourself, the revelation of yourself to us. You are the Father of your children. And as children, we have the privilege of calling upon the perfect parent, the one who knows us best, the one who knows our needs. Sometimes you will give us enough freedom and allow us to fail so that we might learn a dependence upon seeking you, your will, your wisdom, your guidance. You are Father. Thank you that you know our hearts and our minds and our motives even before we attempt to articulate in a phrase, in a word, in a sentence, in a prayer. Sometimes, Lord, we are very inadequate of being able to express our heart adequately to you. You are worthy of worship far deeper, far better than I have the tendency of worshiping you. Oh, that you would open our eyes that we might see you more fully. I think of the experience that you gave to Isaiah when he had the privilege of seeing a glimpse of heaven's room. Seeing you high and lifted up in the throne room of Almighty God. Seeing angelic beings doing their ministry of worship and serving of you. And when he got a better understanding of you, he had a clearer understanding of himself. Oh, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. Lord, we don't know really how to do battle victoriously over our sin, over the world, against the evil one, unless we are equipped in seeing you, the victor, the master, the captain, the Lord whom we follow. Equip us, we pray, to do battle. And Father, there are a lot of needs in this room. Help us, in the words of Peter, to cast our every anxiety, our every concern upon you. Thank you that you care for us. Father, as I just think about the church family that's assembled here this morning, I pray with and for them. I pray, obviously, for good health, for recovery. Thank you for restoring Brother Hugh back to us. It's great to see our sister Juanita back with us, who's been through a lot here in recent weeks herself. Other needs represented in this room that others might not even know about, but Lord, you've not missed the tear. You've not missed the strain in the heart. You know my brother or my sister's need. Would you draw them to yourself, even in these moments of prayer, that they can take a deep breath, a cleansing breath, and breathe the fresh air of your presence, your lordship, over those needs. Shape and mold for yourself a people of prayer. May we find ourselves on our knees, even corporately. Not that the physical posture of getting on our knees means that we are a great war type praying people, but Lord, whatever it takes to make us a people of prayer, would you do that? Deliver us from the complacency that has the tendency of creeping in. Deliver us from the false security that we might find in idols. And may we see our desperate hunger and thirst for you, whom is the only one who can satisfy. Hear the prayer of your people, even now, as we just take a moment and talk to you quietly. and think upon that which You have shown us this morning, so that when we go from here in a little while, we will not leave the same way we came.